This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Emergence News. The spiritual hierarchy of this planet has been in existence for about 17 million years. However, since the ending of the Atlantean civilization and the breakup of the Atlantean land mass, the personnel of the hierarchy, the masters and high initiates of the hierarchy, have been working esoterically behind the scenes of our everyday life. So from their retreats in the remote areas of the planet, they have been guiding us, inspiring our successive cultures and civilizations. The head of this hierarchy, Maitreya, announced back in 1945, in June 1945, that he would re-emerge and therefore assist humanity to create a new era of peace, justice and goodwill. And goodwill is one of the themes of today's program. So when a measure of peace has been restored to the world, when a measure of sharing has at least begun to govern our economic affairs, and when the principle of goodwill is active, leading to right human relations, only then will he come forward and emerge fully, openly, as the New World Teacher. And that is the purpose of this program. Our focus is on the long-awaited emergence of Maitreya. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to the theme of today's program, Maitreya and his approach to humanity. It's underway, and for me, this explains why we are negotiating so much change. So much change in every area of our lives, of existence here on planet Earth. The master, the Tibetan, who has been responsible for releasing the ancient wisdom teachings through Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, insists that one of Maitreya's teachings must be accepted as the basis of our lives, and that is right human relations. That's quite incredible, John. He insists that one of Maitreya's teachings, this teaching must be accepted as the basis of our lives, right human relationships.
Nigel, that is so hard to do. I have been doing some research around that, both in my own life and through the writings of Benjamin Graham. We've got a big ask ahead of us, Nigel.
Yeah, this has been a problem with recent podcasts. We keep talking about subjects which we're finding rather difficult to implement ourselves.
At least we're practicing what we preach, my friend.
Well, we're giving it a go anyway.
We're giving it a go.
Yeah. So the first step towards right human relations is the transformation of our political, economic, and social structures. According to the Tibetan, right human relations is the next divinely ordained achievement of humanity. What's your interpretation of that?
That is really, really massive. And when I'm talking to my friends about this stuff, one of the things I say is relationships are at the key of our life on this planet. Because, Nigel, if it wasn't, we'd get a planet each when we incarnated, right? So we get one that's full of humans. So clearly getting on with each other is key. And, of course, the stuff that I'm looking at for this program just completely goes back to that relationship stuff.
That premise,
yep.
So we'll be going to John next, but just a bit more, just to give you a taste of what's to come. According to Maitreya, the solution is obvious: sharing the resources of this plentiful planet. Now, let me clarify that statement. If humanity shares the available food produce through a coordinated global program, no one should starve. End of story. Mm. Yeah. There is actually enough natural resources on this planet to feed 8.5 billion people. Mm-hmm. However, if we continue to behave in our current greedy, competitive and winner-takes-all attitude, then this planet and all its living organisms are going to struggle to survive. And I think that's what the environmentalists have been trying to tell us for a number of decades.
Yes, and climate change is not just about pollution. It's about wastage. It's about 20% of the population usurping and grabbing and then wasting 80% of the world's resources.
And in fact, that 20% also often are polluting our soils,
yes,
the air and the oceans.
Yeah.
And our planet's coughing, it's choking, it's struggling, it's shaking and it's struggling to breathe. And that's why we have this constant diet of weather warnings and natural disasters. So we do need to change our behaviour.
Yeah, and right relationships at the basis of that.
Because we need to be able to get on with each other so that we can actually have a reasonable level of coordination between the governments.
And we need to acknowledge that humanity is one and that sharing resources is actually a divine practice.
And I was thinking, and Benjamin Krem alludes to this, that the Commonwealth has actually been quite a good example of a number of governments working in reasonable harmony, but maintaining our individual existence, our individual economies, even individual parliaments. But there is a relationship between us all. And the Commonwealth has spread right across the globe. So it's been quite – so it is an example. It does illustrate that it could be achieved.
Yes.
We do need to change our behaviour individually, nationally and internationally. Humanity's war with the earth is dangerous. Humanity's obsession with war and gaining territories, our obsession with accumulating more weapons of destruction, it is now so deeply rooted in our nature, in human nature, isn't it? It's become the number one industry on the planet.
We have to acknowledge that armaments is the number one industry on this planet. Who are we afraid of? Who are we afraid of that the number one industry on this planet is manufacturing things to kill each other with? Who are we afraid of?
And look at the objections of the American public as soon as any brave politician dare suggest gun law reform.
However, I read some stats just recently and the numbers are tipping very much towards some sort of reasonable gun control. So
some level of debate is possible.
Yes, absolutely. The NRA and probably the Republican Party, I think, are starting to lose their grip on that debate. Keep an eye on America. I think that we're going to see some changes there very, very soon.
Very interesting. So social change in which humans of goodwill is the answer. Our survival depends on giving up less of our important freedoms. Freedom of war, freedom to pollute, our freedom to deplete, to breed, to abuse each other and abuse the animal kingdoms. Notice the New Zealand agriculture industry protests one of those freedoms. Freedom to pollute.
The freedom to do as I please, regardless
in the name of
the consequences.
Yeah, in the name of business and economy.
Because I'm pursuing wealth,
The Tibetan tells us that the hierarchy does not seek devotion or any control over us. They make suggestions, but they give no commands. Therefore, they leave us to work on improving our behaviour. And that's where the challenge is, John. Improving right relations with each other actually is our responsibility.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so has John got some answers? We'll find out.
I'm pleased you've come up. You've come back to me, Nigel. I am on fire over here.
He is. He's ready to go. We'll be back with John next. All right, so before we hand over to John, we were just talking about some of those freedoms that we do need to give up. But Maitreya insists that we do need to keep our freedom to eat, to drink, to breathe, and to live happy lives. And if we get this right, then the freedom to have grandchildren.
It's the convention of human rights, really, isn't
It is.
Basic human rights.
Yeah. And it's almost poetic, that, and it was, of course, written by your old mate, Benjamin Creme.
Benjamin Creme.
Way you go, John.
I'm a real fan of Benjamin Creme. Okay, so cooperation as an aspect of right relationship. So I've gone to one of Benjamin Creme's books, The Art of Cooperation, which I thought was a no-brainer. It is a fabulous book and contains some ideas that our listeners will be familiar with, but also be quite shaken by the way that Benjamin Creme talks about this art of cooperation. Anyway, Benjamin Creme's master says, you can divide the world into two types of people, those who compete and those who cooperate. Benjamin Creme has said on right relationships, create right relationships and you find you are cooperating. Cooperate and you will find you are creating right relationships. So he's asked a question about how we can raise our children in a way that they can understand cooperation. So I've gone to the book, The Art of Cooperation.
Well, we're going to have to change our education system, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we are. Now, he starts with, this is what we see in the infant who has yet not come up against the competitive spirit in perhaps an older sibling. There is a total acceptance in this child and simple moment-to-moment awareness of being in the world. There are beautiful, loving parents ready to give their attention. It is felt as a kind of state of bliss. Either the soul feeling, sense of self, is there or it is not. While it is there, competition does not arise. Competition arises when fear comes in. When there is fear of loss, of someone intruding on this total, accepting sense of being at one with all it is. This is an ongoing experience, which from time to time, depending on the point of evolution, is interrupted. It is the state in which that which we call God manifests itself through a human being at a physical level. So he's saying that our very, very young children are in this state of bliss. And then we come along.
And we indoctrinate them.
And we indoctrinate them. Okay, he goes on to say, while the awareness of that connection is held, competition cannot enter because fear is not there. When we talk about competition and cooperation, we are really talking about fear and the absence of fear. Cooperation is the result of the absence of fear and has to be introduced to the child. The child has to be shown by example how to cooperate. The demonstration of the soul quality, which we call cooperation, which is the existence of the divine in everyday life. It is that which inspires the child to do likewise. Every child follows its parents. This is a difficult challenge. Every child follows its parents, walks behind them, does exactly what they do, talks in the way that the parents talk, approaches life and other people exactly as they do. When we talk about the responsibility for our child's upbringing in terms of cooperation, we have to know ourselves. So we're back to honesty, sincerity, and detachment. We have to demonstrate it ourselves. We have to be who we are, the soul in incarnation. The master says you can divide the world into two types of people, those who compete and those who cooperate. Does not mean that those who believe in a certain type of competitive economic system and those who do not. That is just an effect. It refers to those who in their life are afraid and those who are not. If you are afraid, inevitably you will compete. That might be in economic terms, but it can be in any human relationship. And so create wrong relationships. And that phrase, don't take it personally, it's just business, sends shivers down my spine. Cooperation is something that has to be done. It is an action. It is the result of being who you are and giving that expression. That will be different for different people because the souls are different. They are individualized and come in under different ray energies, which we've talked about previously. The quality and manner of that demonstration of cooperation will be different, but it will be recognizable for what it is, as right relationship. Every time you say cooperation, you have to think equally, that is right relationship. Create right relationships and you will find you are cooperating. Cooperate and you will find you are creating right relationships. They are synonymous terms.
It's a whole mindset, it's a change that is required, isn't it? You know, I think about my education as a young child.
Yeah.
It was all centered around competition.
Absolutely.
It wasn't centered around cooperating with my classmates.
No,
it was competition, wasn't it?
And we teach it from a very young age. And some of the thoughts that have come around is, what is cooperation? And it's the ability to give something up, that knowing that losing something, either real or imagined, is not the end of yourself. It is the absence of the fear of missing out. And it sits on a basis of courage or faith or trust. Therefore, if it is possible, if you are fearless. Maitreya says, when you share, you create trust. With trust, we can have justice. With justice, we can have peace. Cooperation comes out of sharing. Sharing and trust allow us to form right relationships. It's the ability, and I'm saying on a personal level here, it's the ability to let something go, either real or imagined. And that word imagined is the key phrase for me, because so much of what we hold on to and are frightened of letting go of is just imagined. It's not real. And we've talked about glamour. Mm. We've talked about illusion. It is the ability to take the risk that letting something go will not hurt you. To form right relationships, you need to be able to cooperate, and that requires courage. Falling in love is not hard. Staying in love is much more challenging, because that requires the courage to cooperate, to give up something to be with the one you have chosen.
It's like a workable, effective relationship with your partner requires a whole range of qualities, but cooperation is a key quality.
And we call it give and take, but it's cooperation, right? I guess we could use the word sacrifice. Right relationship requires cooperation and trust and courage. And I keep coming back to honesty, sincerity, and detachment. I'm beginning to wonder if right relationships, and I'm talking about romantic relationships here, require a degree of personal honesty, which begets some sincerity. And even in our most treasured relationships, we still need detachment. Can we be detached from the ones we love? Sharing, love, cooperation, trust, and justice are soul qualities. Therefore, they are possible for all of us.
That's a very interesting question you've just asked. Can we be detached from the ones we love? That's an interesting question.
I think we need to investigate that further, Nigel.
Mm. We'll have to have a chat to Peter about that, and we're catching up with Peter in just a moment.
Thank you.
This is the Emergence News on Plains FM. For more information, go to shareinternational.org.
There have been people such as Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and others who have alluded to the necessity of better human relationships in all our activities. So I'm sure those two authors, or at least one of them, you'll be putting the spotlight on them, Peter.
That's right. Yes, well, I'm looking at the master's work in the book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, and it's written by Alice Bailey, of course, but she was in England and he was in the Himalayas, so they had an intuitive rapport, which resulted in, I think, 19 books. And they're all absolutely amazing. And anyway, the master talks about the earlier work of the Buddha with regard to relationships and cooperation. And he said the Buddha was the conveyor of enlightenment. He was the Lord of Light. And he challenged the people to tread the path of illumination, of which wisdom, mental perception, and intuition are the aspects. Following on from him, of course, is the Christ. And as we know, he was overshadowing his disciple Jesus at the time of when he became known as Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not sure whether he was known at that time, whether he was Jesus Christ or not. But, however, the Christ embodied in himself a still greater aspect of love, while embracing within himself all that the Buddha had of light. Christ was the expression of light and love. As we strive for right relationships through cooperation, we realise the goal of these endeavours and the Christ today beckons us forward with his call for sharing. For he says, without sharing, there can be no justice. And without justice, there can be no peace. The group work that results from cooperation leads us to intuition, which we are told will be in groups on the physical plane, the dense physical plane I'm talking about. And in the Christ is the initiator, of course, for these first two initiations. So humanity will start to embrace the deep spiritual aspect of our human life. So the Buddha gave us the method, detachment, dispassion, and discrimination. And the Christ, the result, individualism, initiation, and identification. And in the coming 2,500 years of the Aquarian era, we will see a huge number of people take the first and second initiation. And we will see the development of right human relationships. And the hierarchy will become manifest here on the physical plane. The present conflict on the planet is an effect of conflict on Atlantis. In those days, a mantra was given. It's been modernized and used today. It needs to be said with focused attention and involve both the heart and the head. We know it as the Gayatraya. The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love which underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate, and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue.
All this information can be found on the Share International website, www.share-international.org. And also don't forget the podcasts, which are available on the Plains FM website.
We welcome your comments, questions and feedback. Please contact us at emergencenews@gmail.com.